Scripture lesson for today is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And the Lord added his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
It struck me that the song I often sing as a one of prayer, one of intercession before I preach, is one that Mary could have easily sung, where she says, or I would sing, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. The first Noel. This is not a tradition. We are not handing down his manger, recycling hay. This is not something to be passed around like an old fur or grandma's pearls. While a part of history, it is also part mystery. God in flesh, this is not what we would expect. This is not a habit to be categorized as good or bad, expendable or necessary. This is not a custom of time past that we must simply become accustomed to. This is more than a festival or a celebration. We are not merely hanging up and taking down decorations. This is not the stuff of gossip. This is not a rumor, for it comes from God's lips to our ears, from tormented priests, raging prophets, to the crisp pages we hold now. This is a message unlike one we've ever heard. God is coming in Christ Jesus. There is a young girl who claims to carry him. At the time, she is waved off. Kids these days. God doesn't talk to young people. God wouldn't use a teenager. No, the work of God is for adults only. Besides, what is Mary going to do with a baby? Why would God put the salvation of the world in the arms of a girl? Because it would be the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. How long does God have to say it? 1,000 years have passed, but Mary is not ready, and neither are we. First comes love, then comes marriage. Then comes the baby in the baby carriage. But our baby plans are not God's baby plans. Nevertheless, she has agreed, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. It is the servant's surrender. Mary empties her will to be filled with God's own. It doesn't matter what she and Joseph talked about. What matters now is what God has said to her. This is not up for debate or discussion. This is his story, the beginning of Christ with us. We begin with him, not in the year of our birth, but in the year of our Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. We are counted with Jesus. Following in his footsteps, Jesus starts with Mary's, so we start with Mary. And hers are weighted down, belly heavy. She is on foot and expecting her first child. They are on the road, but not due to the holiday rush or to pick up last-minute gifts. She and her fiancé, Joseph, are on their way to his hometown. Unwed and pregnant, she may be wondering what his family will think of her. Maybe she and Joseph have practiced ways to avoid awkward conversations. What will they put on the wedding invitations? Their families are thinking, what a mess. Mary is shamed for our salvation. She is looked down upon so that we can look up to God. She carries Christ, and in turn, we don't have to carry the burden of sin. Jesus is just like his mother. Poet John Donne says this of her: thou wast in his mind, who is thy son and brother, whom thou conceivest conceived, yea, thou art now thy maker's maker and thy father's mother. This is not a reboot of an old television show, a remake of a childhood favorite. This is a declaration, the Annunciation. God is with us. And of course, it is business as usual. Emperor Augustus is building his Roman Empire, but he is too late. God's kingdom is already here. Augustus is expanding roadways, and God is offering the path to salvation. Augustus is making savvy deals, and God has shaken hands with Mary. And Mary may be squeezing the hand of Joseph. She was feeling some pressure, but now it feels more like sharp pains. And she thinks that the baby is coming. She cannot hold him in. It's time. She has to push. She doesn't want to breathe. She cannot just think about something else. They've got to stop and find a place for her to deliver. Jesus is coming right now. And it may be the most wonderful time of the year for us. But Mary is not feeling so hot in the moment. Oh, we can sing all we want. It was not a silent night. Two teenage first-time parents with no birth plan, no birthing classes, no doctor, no midwife, and no epidural. They are going door to door, hoping someone will take them in. Two and one on the way, again and again, they are turned away. Maybe the neighbor next door or the one down the road can help you. We would help you if we could. We really would like to. We don't have a spare bedroom or a nursery. We wish that we could help you, but now's not a good time. We just used the last of our rooms for a walk-in closet. We just extended our master bedroom. We simply do not have any more room. We don't have a room for this type of work. No, we've got family rooms and living rooms and ballrooms and great rooms, but no delivery room. We do not have a place for God's kingdom to come. Besides, it would make such a mess. And I know you say that you have a word from the Lord and you're just carrying God's message, but not tonight. Maybe you could come back some other time. But Mary doesn't have any more time. There is no more room in her body. She has carried him for as long and as far as she can. Walking to Bethlehem only encouraged her labor. And whether you want him or not, uninvited or not, here Jesus comes. God created the earth, and we can't find a square foot to receive the Christ child. We crack our door and whisper through it. We won't budge an inch. No vacancies, no room for God. This is the story. Though we dress it up now with lights, ornaments, and wreaths, Mary gives birth in the stable at the inn, in the backyard. in the parking lot of a hotel. Jesus is not welcomed by doting grandparents, but by the smells and sounds of the animals. God in Christ is tucked away in a manger. God is not in cahoots with capitalism, not dressed in designer duds, not found at a cocktail party in a gated community. God in Christ is in the manger. The holy God is not opulent, not draped in diamonds, robed in fields of grass, flanked by mountains, protected by volcanoes. The presence of God is not massive, but salvation comes in pounds and ounces. Deliverance is tied to an umbilical cord. God is with us in a dependent, naked, vulnerable child. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, God is in the manger. God is where we would least expect the divine to be. God is in the manger, in a place we wouldn't visit, with a person we wouldn't expect to carry much at all, and teenage and unwed, for whom we don't care much about. She's just a child. We have shoes older than her. Still, the word is made flesh in her. The Creator God, who has and is the word for every living thing, coos. God holds back, holds the divine tongue, and Jesus cries out for Mary. The God who supplies our needs in Christ reaches for Mary. This is the first Noel. Author and theologian Brian McLaren says, politicians compete for the highest offices. Business tycoons scramble for a bigger and bigger piece of the pie. Armies march and scientists study and philosophers philosophize and preachers preach and laborers sweat. But in that silent baby, lying in that humble manger, there pulses more potential power and wisdom and grace and aliveness than all the rest of us can imagine. God fulfills the promise of eternity by making a deal with a girl. God doesn't ask her parents for their permission or her fiance for his approval, her body. God asks if she wants to carry salvation. So Mary puts away her baby dolls and shoos away her friends. She forgets her wedding plans, her 5 and 10 year plans, and her fragile frame is filled by the very presence of God. This is not the God we have waited for, but it is the God we wait for now, who confounds our ideas of strength, who challenges our conceptions of power, who defies our descriptions, the God who we can't put a finger on because this God shows up in places and with people we have dismissed. We did not count on God to be with her, and so we discounted her. Mary didn't meet our expectations. She did not check our boxes. She doesn't match our taste, which makes her the perfect candidate for God. Who we reject, God accepts. Who we hate, God loves. Who we discount, God values. Who we ignore, God sees. And all eyes are on Mary now. Like a mother, she makes the best with what she has, wrapped up in bands of cloth, milk rags. She dresses majesty under the night sky and not a mistletoe. She kisses her baby. Surrounded by animals, not gifts, she is fully present and aware that she holds in her arms all that she could ever need or want or desire. This is the first Noel. To the God we don't have to stand in line for, who enters the world without a red carpet or shades, but through the womb of a woman, who tells the story of salvation with characters not classically trained, but who know your voice. Call us now to be your storytellers, who make room for your kingdom to come in all places and spaces and among all people of the world. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You don't know Jesus in the parking lot.